Hello, this is Maitri, and it is Saturday, March 1st, at about 5:45 in the evening. This is my last night in the hotel. They found a rental house for me in this last week, and the pugs and Miss Scarlet, my gray parrot, who is kind of the worse for the wear from the stress of the fire. She is here with me in the hotel, has been since sometime after I did the last podcast. She used to be a plucker and was fully feathered again, but the stress of the fire and staying with my friend got her so completely freaked out. We finally got her here. So I've been in the hotel now for almost a month. I can't believe that when I set up mail forwarding this last week for my mail to start on Monday. I mean, I looked at the calendar and that's March 3rd, and my fire was February 5th. It is absolutely unbelievable to me that it almost seems as though Dragonfly Cottage was a past life, and in a way it was. Whew! So much changes. I was thinking about when somebody writes a novel. This is just, and you're probably going to be listening to me rambling. I'm very, very, very tired. I've been really stressed out. It's been very, very hard here, but I'm coping. But you think of all kinds of really random things. And I thought, and now here's me, I talk in circular fashion with all kinds of asides. So I hope you guys will bear with me with this. I've mentioned through the podcast that I'm about to turn 60 this year. My birthday is April 30th, and I will be 60 on April 30th. And I've been looking so forward to it. I'm one of those people that never has age bothered me at all. And I've just been like a big marker, so excited to reach 60, and so many sort of plans and dreams about how I would celebrate and the things that I would do at Dragonfly Cottage. And I've planted tons and tons and tons of stuff in the fall. And now I'm going to be celebrating my 60th birthday in a little tiny rental house. It is darling. It's a little 1940s house, kind of in the center of town, which is very much not what I'm used to, a very busy area, but it's a cute little older neighborhood. And I will be in a rental house celebrating my 60th birthday while Dragonfly Cottage, or it will not be Dragonfly Cottage anymore, but that home is being rebuilt inside, outside, upside down. They literally did demolition this week, tearing down everything. It has to stay the way it was after the fire while they do all kinds of investigating and evaluating and, all that sort of thing. So anyway, I've been in here, and that's the thing about the 60th birthday. I am rambling. I do know that. I'm so sorry. I'm like squeezing my eyes closed because they hurt so much. Kind of from crying and just from being really tired that I'm having a little hard time. Delilah got very sick this week, my little tiny girl pug. She has been so severely stressed out since the fire. It's really taken a toll. She's been very, very anxious. She got very sick, and I can't leave the hotel. I mean, I walk the dogs, but I can't leave all the animals here in the hotel room. And being agoraphobic and the changes that I've had to make with my house burning down and being in a hotel around all of these people, which, as I talked to my doctor this week, everyone is amazed how well that I'm handling things. And under the circumstances, I really am, and I'm kind of proud of myself too. But by the same token, it has been so hard. And my daughter or people have been bringing things here to me that I needed. And so Delilah got so sick and she cried. It was this pitiful, pitiful sort of whimpering, almost like a little cat crying all through the night Tuesday. And by the time I got up Wednesday morning, after really not having slept all night, I was in tears. I was so worried about her. I didn't know what was wrong. She was obviously in pain. And I called my vet's office and I said, I don't know what to do. And I have to get her to see you. I don't know how to get her there. And dear Nicole, that works at my vet at LaCroix Veterinary Clinic here in Wilmington, North Carolina, Nicole, who works there and who I dearly love and did long before this, has already come twice to the hotel because I lost all of the dog's medications, which was hundreds of dollars worth of medication in the fire. The explosion started in the kitchen, and that's where a literal pharmacy was for these four dogs. So Nicole had already come out to the hotel twice to bring medication, and I called that morning and she said, I will come on my lunch hour. I will pick Delilah up. I will bring her here to the clinic. Dr. Redfern will see her. I'm madly in love with Dr. Redfern. She is a doll and has taken care of my pugs for the last year. And so they had her there. They ran all kinds of tests, blood work and this and that and the other. And she had developed a really bad bacterial infection in her intestines. There was a worry at one point that it was pancreatitis, which thank God it wasn't, because that would have been very serious and would have had, like, for the rest of her lifetime implications, kind of serious. So she came back to the hotel that night with three kinds of medications, special food, and she's on Xanax three times a day for little doggy Xanax because her anxiety is just over the top here. And between the Xanax and now 4 days on antibiotics and anti-nausea medication and whatever, this is her first day where she has had a good night sleeping, and she is here. They are all here, and I'm sure you'll hear snoring because I'm sitting on the little love seat here that forms the little, what you might call living room, which is laughable because it's all one room, but, you know, I appreciate having it. The pugs are on or around me here, and they are all sleeping and snoring. So I have done pretty much just taking dogs in and out, four pugs, 4 to 5 times a day, and taking care of Delilah, who's been so sick, and dealing with insurance people every day, several different facets of the insurance process, and endless paperwork. And I just am physically and emotionally so terribly tired, but I'm managing. And as long as Delilah's doing better, I'll be okay, because I've been so worried about her. And my other little three fella pugs have been little troopers and have done really well. And bless her heart, Miss Scarlet, she's actually starting to grow a few feathers. So I wish you could see the counters in my little kitchenette here. It looks like I did a big grocery shopping and left it out all over the counters. There's nothing on these counters that's for human consumption. Dog foods, dog medications, a whole counter of stuff for Scarlet, because she picked herself almost clean. She was red from where, almost a little bloody in spots. So I have two different kinds of spray baths with aloe and vitamins and all kinds of things, and a very special kind of expensive, really good bird food with drops to put on that, and special pellets and treats and what I mean, the whole nine. So my whole counter is full of food for Scarlet, and really I'm just in this little room with four pugs, one parrot, and a massive amount of animal things. But as long as I can keep my animals, the ones I still have, safe, I'm that's what matters to me now. And I made a donation to Mid-Atlantic Pug Rescue to honor my four parrots that I lost. I had to do something for them. And I tell you, my My family at Mid-Atlantic Pug Rescue has been so completely amazing. I have lost track of how many gift certificates they have sent me. Lots of gift certificates to Amazon.com, where like you can get everything under the sun right now. Gift certificates to a couple of places that I buy clothes online. Gift certificates to the grocery store. And now that I have an address where I will be, they have that. And this next week, some of the women in rescue have big boxes of things that people have sent to them to send to me. And so it's, you know, I have to tell you, if you're from MAPR, how much I love you. And everybody that's been so kind, you know, I would not wish an experience like this on anyone. But there are kind of miraculous and amazing and touching and awe-inspiring things. I've got one little pug who is snoring to beat the band. And that's kind of funny, too, because it's my baby, Tanner, the 4-year-old, who like snores like a truck driver. And my landlord in my little house I'm renting, his name's Tanner, of all things. Never heard of that anymore. Now I've got a pug and a landlord named Tanner. But I'm so moved. The people here at the extended stay Marriott, where I've been for a month, have been over the top, unutterably fantastic. They serve a little free breakfast and a little free light dinner Monday through Thursday. Breakfast every day, but just dinner through Thursday. And I'm always at these times, I mean, the cutoff times, I would always be missing them, getting dogs in and out and feeding dogs and medicine and everything. And so they see me out there walking the dogs, and they're like, we've got food, we're keeping food for you, we're keeping it warm, we'll bring it back to you. And literally, for this weeks I've been in here, they bring me food, they ask me if there's anything I can do. They can do for me, and I just am overwhelmed by the kindness of people. I have shed many, many tears just being so touched by the kindness of people. So today is the kind of crossover day, and I have been very, very, very anxious. While I am really needing to get out of this hotel room and really needing to work out a way that's got the little, that has a little fenced yard for the dogs, which is a little bit of a peculiar setup, but we're going to work that out. Being agoraphobic, I've been in here for 4 weeks now, and this is my safe space. So now it has become a safe space for us, and now I have to move again to a new place that the dogs and I don't know, and Delilah being so anxious with here, I've got to move her again, and I'm very, just very anxious about it, and I've cried off and on today, and my dear, darling, sweetheart friend, Jeffrey, who is my best friend and like a brother to me, will be here to help me move out of the hotel. My son has driven up from Atlanta, well, he's driving up tonight. He won't get in until late tonight, and he's staying with Rachel, my daughter, my daughter that lives here, who's done everything for me since the fire. And Aaron is coming up from Atlanta to build some things and do some things at this little rental to make it easier for me with the pugs. And so Rachel all day today was doing, she went to get my medicines refilled and some medicine for Delilah, and I have to really laugh when I think about it. Because she had to go get 3 medications for me, one of which is Xanax, and she had to get doggy Xanax for Delilah at the same time. We're all crazy here. But she got the meds, and she went to Sam's and got all kinds of stuff that I would need, foods, drugstore kind of items, cleaning kind of items, food, and she went to the grocery store, and she's been here, there, and everywhere, and just called me to say that she was in the little house and how much she loves it. I saw it. The only time I've been out of here in a month was 1 hour when a friend came to babysit the pugs so that I could go see the rental house and give the approval. That was my friend Winona. Noni, if you're out there listening, thank you for coming, Auntie Noni, to take care of the puggeries that day. It was the 1 hour out of the hotel in a month. Rachel had not seen it, and so she is just in there. It's going to send me pictures because the insurance company, once they set up the rental, they have a company that comes in and brings furnishings and furnishes it. And I mean down to silverware and napkins and plates and glasses and a TV and everything. And she said, Mom, it's so cute. They've got like the dining room table set with silverware and wine glasses. And, you know, she said, it's so cute. So, I mean, the insurance company people since the fire have been incredibly helpful and supportive and really, really helped me out a lot. And so we are now to the moving day. So tomorrow, my son will be there from early in the morning tomorrow working at the house. And my dear friend Jeffrey is going to be coming here. Checkout is noon, and they said if I could, they would extend it for me, but I really want to get out of here by noonish. And Jeff is going to come here, and I have a huge dog crate that takes up the whole back seat of my Honda Element. All four pugs fit in at once, which was good that it always stays in my car, because the night of the fire, they were able to get my car, and everything was all set up in there for the dogs already. And he's going to get me and the dogs and everything in the car and send us off over to Aaron at the house. And Jeff's going to pack up everything in the hotel and bring it over to the house. So I am so blessed to have family and friends here and unbelievable friends and support online, my students, my family of friends through Mid-Atlantic Pug Rescue, many friends on Facebook, and people that I have known online. I got a wonderful, very dear email from my friend Sue, who was one of the moderators of the original Dragonfly Cottage that I started in 1999, the Dragonfly Cottage website, where it all began after I'd left my 30-year marriage and was on my own and alone and frightened. And I started Dragonfly Cottage for Women online, and that ran through 2006. And so many of those dear people have followed me and been friends with me and connected to me to this day. And as I said, I wouldn't wish the experience that I had on anybody, but it is quite an amazing experience to be the recipient of so much kindness and support. I have started posting some blog posts, three so far. I'm going to do another one this evening. Since the fire, it took me a while to get around to doing that. But one of the things that I said is, when you know somebody that has been through a tragedy, a death, or whatever, you know, I mean, if it's somebody very, very close to you, you're obviously going to hop on the bandwagon and do something for them. But going through this experience, there are people that barely knew me, that I didn't even know their names, that have come forward to do things for me, and it has made me realize how much I want to have my ears and eyes and heart open. And when I hear of somebody going through a bad time, I am going to be on the spot doing whatever I can or sending something. Because when you are on the receiving end, when you're the one that's been through a tragedy and people do these things for you, you have no idea how much it means. Oh my God, it just means so much. And so it's a big wake-up call and reminder for me to do things for other people. My daughter Rachel is a psychologist. I'm sure you've all heard this a lot. She's a psychologist. She's 34, and she works with children with autism and loves them dearly. And the other people with her, women that work with her in her office, they have sent me so much stuff here to the hotel right off the bat. A couple of new dog beds and toys and treats, and then they sent more stuff. They sent pretty baskets with things for me, socks and moisturizers and all kinds of pretty things for me. And one of Rachel's friends, like the next day, Anya, I don't know that you'll be listening to this, but Rachel's dear friend Anya made homemade soup and sent just all kinds of food and a bottle of wine. And I mean, right away, that was over here when we were first in here. So it is just an amazing experience to go through. And what I started to say at the beginning and got sidetracked as I have been. Give me Sammy Jones, my little old man pug. Sam's trying to figure things out. He kind of woke up. As a writer, and somebody who's written all my life, and I actually wrote a novel called The Bird Woman, Miss Violet Hill, some years ago. Ooh, oh my word! I think I just got cold chills and a freak out. Okay, folks, this is like an original thought for me in this moment that I'm connecting to this, and I'm freaking out when I think of it. Before I left my marriage in 1999, I wrote a novel called The Bird Woman, Miss Violet Hill. And Violet was a very odd and unusual woman and very reclusive, and she lived alone. At that time, I was running a shelter that I started, a nonprofit shelter for disabled and unwanted parrots. Come here, Sammy. It's all right, Sam. Come here. And in the novel, Violet lived alone on a hill in a big old Victorian, three-story Victorian that was kind of run down, but every room was full of birds. They were her loves. And in the end, oh my God, I mean, I'm totally freaking out here. In the end, there was a fire, and she and all the birds died in the fire. Freaky or what? Because I lost four parrots in the fire. Ooh, that correlation there just kind of sent a chill down my spine. But the point that I was going to make is at that time, you hear about fires, you read about them, you see them in the news. You can't know what that's like until you've been through that. And I thought about writing a novel, how it totally changes. You can do all the research in the world, but there's just certain aspects that, unless you have been through something like this, or if you're writing about death, if you haven't lost someone, you can try your best to write about that. But I'm not saying this very well. This has changed me in unimaginable ways, and the work that I'll be doing is so much deeper. I wrote in my journal in the early days, and I don't know if I mentioned it. It's been a while since I did those first two podcasts after the fire that were just a few days apart. I wrote in my journal, I never want another woman to feel this lost, this alone, this afraid. I men either, but I'm thinking as a woman. And it's women that I work with. And my mindfulness practice has been what has kept me solid and hanging on, even if barely by a thread at times. When you live in the moment, when you stay in the moment, I have to just like, I'm putting my hands out, sort of like when you're swimming, where your hands come together and fan out. It is like I am fanning away from me what happened before I was in this hotel and what's coming afterward. Even though, like, the situation that I'm in right now, where I'm going to be moving out into the rental tomorrow, and I'm so afraid and anxious about that. That will come when it comes. But it's 6:11 p.m. on March the 1st, Saturday evening, and I'm okay. And my pugs are okay, and my Miss Scarlet is okay, and I have wonderful family and friends helping me, and in this moment, I am okay. And I have said that to myself since the fire, except when I was kind of falling apart, which is kind of interspersed with all of that. But I have been able to keep coming back to my mindfulness practice, and it's been my saving grace. And so I am ever more dedicated to work with women, with my mentoring, and once I get moved and settled, to create the school that I will be creating online, a mindfulness school, and for women to help. You can go through anything in life, and mindfulness will help you, any kind of circumstance. And I said that all along and through my life and in my teaching. But in the meantime, I've had my house burned down, and I've lost my dear little birds, and I've lost everything pretty well of material nature, which I could give a hoot about in the light of the birds. It's my animals were all that mattered. And going through all of this and spending a month in the hotel and getting ready to go on into 6 months in a rental and doing whatever I have to do, my mindfulness practice has helped me through all of this. And so I am more deeply dedicated to doing my work to help other people, because it's been a litmus test. I know that mindfulness works and has helped me a lot, but when it can help you through something like this, it's big, and it really does deepen your relationship, both with your practice and the work that you want to do and your ability to help other people. So I am really sorry if this has indeed been a rambling all over the place kind of podcast, but I wanted to get something out, and this is the last night in the hotel. And the next time I will be doing a podcast will be from the rental house, the darling little 1940s little tiny dollhouse of a place that I know I'll enjoy living in once I get settled. Lordy. Come here, baby Sam. Ooh, Sammy. My little old man pug is having a hard time. So I'm going to close here and know how much I love you, and that I'm wishing you well, and that I'm hoping for you that you are safe, and that you are having beautiful, mindful moments wherever you are. And I'm going to include a picture that I already did put up with the last blog post, a little Delilah, when she's so sick, sitting in this little stripedy chair in the hotel. This was the first day. It's just such a precious, touching, tender sort of picture, and kind of the penultimate difficult time in our stay here at the hotel. But we are all, she is on the mend, and we are all doing all right. And again, for all of you that have sent things or are sending things or have helped in any way, you will be in my heart forever. And I love you all so very dearly. Thank you so much. And this is Maitri and the Pugs and Miss Scarlet saying goodbye this Saturday night, March 1st. Farewell, friends.